upon the earth up to that time. From all 6 days of creation to the angels to all the evil before that, everything, there was something different that was happening that God was doing and was going to make, and that was mankind, mankind. And that includes every one of us, mankind. In the first two chapters, and God said, if it is recorded at least 10 times that God said, and God said, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the last three times is related to when he said, and God said, the last three times was towards human beings, towards humanity. Something great was going on. And here we see when God created man, or started to, and God said in verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He didn't say that about the sun, the moon, the stars. He didn't say that about all the rabbits, turtles, whales, sharks. He didn't say that about the trees and all the fruit-bearing trees, of apple trees, lemon trees, all that stuff. He didn't say that about anything else except to the point when he got to humanity. We are that different. And he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And we know the word us, that just doesn't, it's not singular. That's not just one person. When I say, well, us, that's more than just me. When you say us, that's more than just you. Can you imagine when God said, let us make man in our image, our two, and in our likeness, he wasn't talking about just himself. That he was calling the other two Godheads of the Trinity. When God got to the place where he was about to make man, he didn't just make man. That's how unique we are to him. That's how great we are to him, humanity. He calls in the Son of the living God, and he calls in the Holy Spirit. We know they're three different entities, but yet they're one in all the things that they do. He calls in the big guns, if you want to put it that way. Not a tread lightly, because that's the Godhead. But he calls in the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, the one that would go forth and redeem man one day. And God knew that would happen. He knows everything beforehand. And he also called in the Holy Spirit that would help humanity in all their endeavors, led by the Holy Spirit. He calls them in. They have a big council, if you want to say meeting. They come in and he says, let us make man. That's how important we are to God. That he called them in. He didn't just say, make man. He calls everyone in to come and be a part. Because you see, we would be made like God. Ooh. Like him, but yet not a God. But we would be made like our God. See, no dog, no cat, which we all like those, you know, whatever kind, what you want. No horse, no elephant, no giraffe is made in the image of our God. But humanity is. Human beings are made in the image of the God that we serve. We are made in His image, like Him. And He calls these people together. And He has them come in. They come in, they gather together. I want to say it that way. And they make man to perfection. To perfection. It says, let us make man, proclaims without fear of exaggeration, the greatest creature or the greatest creative act of God. The greatest creative act of God was when He made humanity. You know, we often think, and we read in the Bible about, you know, God made, you know, doing all kind of miraculous things, and those are great things. But the greatest creative act of our God was when He had His Son, and He had the Holy Spirit there with Him. They're three but yet one, and they create man. They form man. They make him. They make him. How important we are to God. And how important God is to us nowadays. That yet, at the beginning of time, He makes us. He makes us with a spirit, a soul, and a body. And the body houses the spirit and the soul that's on the inside of us. And it's that spirit and soul that needs to be rejuvenated, that needs to be born again, that needs to give their life to Him so God can come again and live inside of us. That's the power of our... And now we know our God is still working in us, still moving in our hearts, still moving in our lives. The power of our God, the presence of our God. When God created Adam, Adam in the Arabic root signifies brilliant one. Brilliant one. We all come from the lineage of Adam. That was the first. We're all brilliant ones according to God. Brilliant. In Him. Brilliant in Him, in what He created and how He brought us about. Made in the image of God. That's why the devil hates humanity. That's why he loves abortion. That's why he loves wars. To destroy the humanity and human beings. Because every time he sees you, every time the enemy sees you, every time demon spirits see you, every time old Lucifer looks at you, he sees God in you. He sees God living in you as we have surrendered our God, our lives to Him. He sees God in us and he can't stand it because he knows he was defeated one time and he thinks he won't be defeated again. But I have news for him. The Bible says so. He will be defeated. And let me tell you, he can be defeated in your heart and in your life if you let him be. He can be under your feet. God said, keep the enemy under your feet as we sang that song.
Yes.
And what you see, we decide where he will be. Yeah. It says to bind the enemy, in the scripture says. Bind him from his works, that the scripture says. Bind him from the activity upon the earth and in people's lives. We have the power that's living in us, the power of our God, that we can bind him from doing the work that he liked to do upon our children and upon our spouses and upon our family. But God says, if you will do it, I'll give you victory. Even though he won the victory upon the cross, we have to still obtain it and take possession of it. We have to take possession of it. And we can do that because the Word of God gives us the power to do that. That we can stand forth towards the enemy. And we can bring destruction upon him and all his works by the power of our God, by the blood of Jesus. when David ran down that mountainside to go and kill. He was going to kill Goliath. There was no thought in his mind that he was going to destroy him, because he was calling out his God and saying evil things about the God of Israel, and he didn't like it. See, with God, and I've often said this, when there's God and you have a majority no matter what's happening in the world, no matter how many people are against you. When God is on your side, God moves and makes things that are impossible possible. That's the kind of God we serve, people. That's the kind of God we serve that goes before us and makes a crooked place straight. Make it a rocky place level. That's the kind of God we serve. And David ran down. He didn't know where that rock would flow. He didn't know if it would go in his mouth of Goliath. He didn't know if it would go in his eye or if he would witness him. But all he knew was this, that he was going to kill him with what he had. And people, we got to kill the works of the enemy and what he's trying to do upon the earth and in your family by using the tool that God has given us. Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose upon the earth will be loosed in heaven. We need to stand up and take our rightful position and not let the enemy take any foothold in our family's lives or in our church or in our spouses at all or in our children. That he cannot take one step. He cannot do one thing, but his head is under our feet because it's the foot of Jesus. And Jesus says, you cannot do what you want to do. Amen. Or have what you want to have. Yes. We take authority over those things. God has given us that authority, that power to do the mighty that he's called us to do. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Lord Jesus. Look at verse 3 of Psalms chapter 8. Look at verse 3. And when I consider your heavens, David was saying this about our Lord. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. He says, the Lord says, David was saying, that we have dominion over all the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. But look at verse 5. It says, when you have made him a little lower, talking about man and the angels. You know, and I've said this before, and I've preached on this already, that scripture should have been translated a little differently. Should have been translated a little differently. It should have said, you have made him a little lower than God, not the angels. Sometimes in the translation of things from the original Greek and Hebrew, the English language cannot sometimes put the appropriate words, and sometimes it loses its meaning. So man was not created just a little lower than angels. That would mean angels are above humanity or mankind, and that's not so. The angels were not made in the image of God. They were created. He spoke it, and they were created. But it says that God created man a little lower than himself, talking about who? Elohim, God. Little lower than him. So when somebody says that, oh, that's a little angel, really, they're putting that person down. It's true. And I know they're thinking, well, you know, that's they're trying to prop them up. But that's not true. God has made us, humanity, a little lower than Him. We are created in His image, like Him. In His likeness and in His image, we are created like Him. And we were created by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three coming together as they are in unity continuously, working together in unity and oneness to create humanity. And we were created a little lower, a little bit lower than God. Why? But we were created in His image like He is. That's why He loves us so much. That's like, you know, the angels rebelled against God. Or the angels, some of the angels, a third of them, and Lucifer. That one time that we know of, written in scriptures, and God wrote them off. Toof, that was it. There's no repentance. There's nothing that they can do to come back to God at all. At all. They can't repent. They can't say, Father, I'm sorry. That's it. But you look at humanity. From the time that Adam and Eve fell till today, and how many times we've come to the Lord and we've given our hearts to Him, but yet we have failed in certain areas of our lives, and we come back and we ask forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus comes in and cleanses our hearts and souls. Praise God! Praise God! There's something about the love of the Father towards humanity, because we were made like Him. When He sees us, He sees Himself. It's like God looking in a mirror, if you want to put it that way. You know, when you look in a mirror, and it's just you, who do you see? Yourself. If you see somebody else, something's wrong.
If you're a vampire, you don't see
some of us want to see somebody else. That's okay. No. Remember, God loves you like you are. But He does not want us to stay like we are. He loves us enough to send His Son to die upon the cross. And as He died upon the cross, gave His blood for us. And Jesus and the Father comes and cleanses us of all those things that need to be cleansed in our hearts and souls. He knows the fight that we have. He knows the struggles that we struggle with. He knows the things that we go through. But yet the Father is everlasting and ever patient towards His people because of the love that He has. Because when He looks at us, He sees Himself. Ooh. And He loves us. I know sometimes we don't love ourselves. Sometimes. They call us the unlovables. But God loves us. He sees Himself. Can you imagine as we come before Him daily, in the morning or at noon or at night, whenever time we're just praying. And we're seeking the Father as we come to Him through the precious blood of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we come to Him and we make our petitions before Him. And as the Father looks down and He sees us, what does He see? He knows who we are. We're all different as far as our bodies. But He sees that spirit man. He sees that soul. He sees the body. And it reminds Him of who? Himself. And He looks at us, and He's pleased with us. And He works in our hearts, and He works in our lives. God has given man a form of creative power. While he is not able to create out of nothing, as God can do, still, he is able to take that which God has already made and fashion it into many and varied things. Therefore, being made or created a little lower than God, Elohim, he is greater than the angels. Let us make man, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Man, when he was made, was to be dedicated to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Remember that. We are not just flesh and blood. There's a spirit that's in us. And now that we've given our hearts to the Lord, it's God's Holy Spirit that is dwelling in us. That we are the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amazing thing. Back in the Old Testament, that didn't happen. It only happened after Jesus died on the cross. Man before the fall was intended to be guided by his spirit, which was in constant communion with God. Due to the fall, he is now guided by his senses. You know the five senses. Let me read that again. Man before the fall was to be guided by his spirit, which was the Holy Spirit, which was in constant communion with God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Adam and Eve? Because there's no other two. There's only two people that God created. God created Adam from the dust and the dirt, and then he created Eve. And that was from her side, the rib part that he took and made. But there was only two people in this world ever that was created, that was guided by his spirit that was in him. Only two. All the other ones of us now, because of the fall of humanity with Adam and Eve, that sin nature came in, and that's why we have to be born again, because of the evil that is in our hearts, humans, in our hearts. And so God has to come, and we have to give our lives, and then the Father comes in by his Spirit, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God can move in us and through us by what he has done for us. We were made, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Pertains to man's ability to reason, to love, and to serve. These amazing faculties were meant to function entirely in the realm of service to our Creator. Remember when he said, I'll make them into our image and our likeness. That means he wanted us to reason, to love, and to serve. And that was to function entirely in service to him. Only. And we lost a lot of stuff at the fall, people. And let me tell you, I've been born again. We still don't have it all that God created us to be. We still are living a little short. The manifestation of the fullness of God in us is still not all been manifested because we can't take it. That will happen when he comes for the church. And we are taken out of this place. And let me tell you, the time is short. You might say, well, how do you know the time is short? Just read the scriptures. Nation against nation. Wars and rumors of wars, all kinds of things that are happening. Famines and earthquakes and fires and all kinds of stuff that's happening throughout the world. He even says in the last days that that parts of the church would become cold towards him. Lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. You might say, well, how do I stay hot? By staying on the stove. Stay on the stove. The stove. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace? They threw him in and they were in a furnace and that thing was hot. But who was with him? Jesus. Stay on that stove and it says, God says, I'd rather you be cold or hot, not lukewarm. Because lukewarm water does nothing. When you're trying to boil an egg and you put it in lukewarm water, it won't happen. Or you try to put noodles in it, it won't happen. It's no good for much. So God says to me, we need to be hot towards him. We need to let the power of God move in our hearts and in our lives. Let the power of God move in your heart and in your life. Take up your cross, follow him, and say, Father, from this day forward, I won't look back. Don't look back to the things that you used to do. Don't look back to the things of the world back then. You know, you hear some Christians, all they talk about what they used to do. Constantly. Now, I'm not talking about sharing your testimony. That's different. Oh, no. Sharing, look what God has done, brought me out of. But you hear some Christians, and you thinking, I think they want to go back. I think they miss the sin and the evil that they used to do. Don't look back at those things. Look forward towards the cross. Say, Father, from this day forward, I want to serve you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. The only reason David could get up and take off that armor that they tried to put on him and take up his slingshot and take up those rocks was because he knew his God. And he knew what God could do. And he, you know, basically, if they slay me, they slay me. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stand up for my God. We need to stand up for the things of God. We need to take on the things that God has given us and pursue your God. Pursue him. Look to him. Run to him. Asking God to do a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. Asking the power of God to move at will within the hearts and lives of your families. Asking God to move. And let me tell you this, the last part, surrender to him. Just surrender. And Father, I surrender to your will this day. Let me accomplish what you want me to accomplish. And let the power of God move. Let the power of God move upon us. David didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know. He didn't know God would take that rock with so much force behind it that it indented it an indention in the forehead and killed Goliath. And he fell head first. And David ran up to him, took the sword out of Goliath's, put his foot on his back, took that sword and cut off the head of Goliath. There are many Goliaths in the lives of God's people. It's time to cut the heads off. Cut it off. Don't let the enemy torture you. Don't let the enemy torture your life. Don't let the enemy speak things to you. I said, well, how do I stop that? Go to the Word. Find out what the Word says about you. And listen to the Word. And say, Father, I believe your Word and I stand upon it. And David took that head and said, look, dripping with blood. The eyes rolled back, I guess. I don't know. Sounds like a Halloween scare, huh? In October. It's okay. But look what God can do. Look. When God brings victory in your heart and life, the whole church rejoices. As David turned to the crowd of Israelites and he held up the head of Goliath, they started to rejoice. What God had done. Now, they didn't rejoice as David was running down. They didn't even join him. And as David looked to them, they started to rejoice. But also the enemy. Now, probably he turned towards the enemy and let them see what God. God, and they started to run scared. And all of Israel started to run down. And they just devoured the armies of the Philistines alive. God's wanted to bring a new day, a victory in every person's heart and life, from the mind to the body to the soul. Because you see, God created us uniquely. We're not just created like an animal. I know biologists try to put us in the animal kingdom. No. It's different. No other, if you want to say animal, has a spirit and a soul. No other species, if you want to say it, after the body dies, that spirit and soul goes to a place for eternity. No way. When your dog dies, I know you love them. You love your dogs and your cats and all that stuff. They take a lot of your money. Because you do all kinds of stuff, and that's okay. It's okay. But when they die, that's it. But when you die, all heaven will rejoice because you've made it home. Praise God. Oh, when that trumpet sounds, people. Oh, when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ start to rise in Christ, and they which are alive and remaining shall be caught up in the air with them, and they shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Amen. You might say, are we going to come back, church? We'll come back, but we're going to come back with our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, riding on his horse and doing what he has to do as we come to take over this land and judge and do what God has called us to. Praise God, people, he's coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Let's get the word out that he's coming. Let's get people to repent if we can. Let's tell people about the Lord continuously. No matter what the devil throws at you, don't shut your mouth, people. Because God uses humanity, the ones that's a little lower than him, to share the gospel. Praise God. You may stand, please. It's only 11 o'clock.